WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Student Section MLB. Of course, your host, as always, Carson Keel, joined by
Tyler Harrison
and Luke Anderson.
Yes, we are missing Luke Torrey. We wish him well, as of course, fall break is upon us on fall break eve. I know, Tyler, we were talking before the show. You're heading out of here as soon as you can.
Yeah, I plan on leaving either tonight or very early tomorrow.
I'll be out of here in the morning, and Luke, you're the lone stayer.
Yeah, I'll be staying over fall break.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting.
Square. Anyway, so let's get into things. We had two game sevens to wrap up the championship series for the AL and the NL. Dear God, those were intense series. But we have a Texas Rangers versus Arizona Diamondbacks World Series for the 2023 matchup for the October Classic. So guys, I guess let's start talking about that. Still, we have probably one of the weirdest matchups we have ever seen in modern baseball. I mean, can you guys think of kind of a more out of left field matchup than we've seen in a while?
In all honesty, no, I couldn't. I'm trying to go back in the last 5-6 years without counting the COVID year, because
maybe Cleveland, Chicago, maybe.
Yeah,
I forget, that's almost 8 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, that one seemed pretty random too, but I mean, also, like, that one had a cool narrative because both the teams had, like, streaks. This World Series is just kind of weird. I mean, I was thinking, like, even if you told me, even, like, 2 years ago, not even just, like, 2 years ago, oh, the World Series in 2023 is going to be the Texas Rangers versus the Arizona Diamondbacks, I would have called you crazy. And, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a lot. I mean, these are kind of just two, like, smaller market teams that haven't been really that good and, like, haven't had any playoff success, like, this that much over their entire franchise's histories. I mean, it's Arizona's second pennant, Texas's third pennant. I mean, it is really random, Carson.
Yeah. I mean, and these are two teams that Texas was bad last year. They went out and hired Bruce. They went in and kind of – they retooled their roster. Arizona, they've been kind of – they've been hot and cold the past couple years. All of a sudden, they get sort of hot. And then now they're in the World Series. I mean, there was an executive. You've probably seen the anonymous MLB executive account on X or Twitter or whatever it's called these days, and they were complaining about it. They were like, we people are rooting for the Rangers. They're not rooting for Arizona because they think Arizona's record is just so weak. They should not be in the World Series. It's like,
oh, boohoo.
Yeah, yeah. And there's that led to the speculations of Philly's executive, but it's like
the burner account.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Dusty Baker.
We'll talk about him in a second, of course, exactly. With the news that came out over today. But still, let's start off with the ALCS Game 7. Let's see, it was Game 5, I think, when we last went off air, or was it Game 4?
I think it was Game 5.
No, it was Game 3, because remember, we were talking about how the Rangers had been undefeated up to that point, to about Monday, I texted all of y'all in the group chat, and I said, wow, of course, the week we mentioned that they went undefeated, they dropped 3 straight to the Astros.
Yeah.
All road wins.
Yeah, it's just like... The Rangers absolutely kind of came out and just, again, they are playing madmen baseball. That's exactly what they do. It's just angry baseball. And, I mean, Luke, you predicted the Rangers were going to be winning the World Series. We all kind of laughed at you. We're still eating crow about this. Now here we are. The Texas Rangers are in the World Series. They are 4 wins away from hosting that trophy. I mean, you have to be at least very proud of that prediction now.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I was a little worrying after our show. Yeah, so that the timeline does track there, that after our show, they were 2 wins away after 2 games going into Houston and winning both of them. They were 2 wins away from being in the World Series. Then they went back home and got swept, and then they were down 3-2, and I was a little worried that they were going to spoil my prediction. But then you look at games 6 and 7 in Houston, and they outscored the Astros 20-6 in both those games. I mean, they really came out playing. I thought it was going to be a dogfight, and then it was 2-0, and I was like, well, maybe this might not be the series we were hoping for. And I mean, it certainly turned into that. Texas coming out with the win in explosive fashion in that trip back to Minute Maid And, I mean, the bats were just red hot. I mean, sparks are flying. I mean, you saw in Game 5, Adolis Garcia got hit. And, I mean, there was Abreu got suspended for that. The bench is cleared. And, I mean, I think that really helped Texas also. It gave them some momentum going into those other games. And, I mean, they were able to hold it down.
I mean, now, what was that stat that you said about how they outscored them in the last two games? What was it, 20-9?
It was 20-6. It was 9-2 in Game 6 and 11-4 in Game 7.
To put that into perspective for anybody who has not watched the games, Adolis Garcia outscored the entire Astros organization over the last two games. I think he had 9 RBI in the last two games.
I think so.
And with those 9 RBI, I saw it watching Game 7, Adolis Garcia is 1 RBI away from tying the postseason record in the American League, or all-time, I don't remember either one, tying the record for most RBIs in a single playoff run by David Freese. And he has 4 games to get 2 RBI to break the record. He was DFA'd 2 years ago. He's been DFA'd twice in his career in the last 4 years, and he is now on track to have one of the best postseason runs possible. He's the first player ever to have 4 strikeouts and 4 RBI in the same game.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Hit a grand slam just because.
Yeah, at the end, in a game that was already pretty much out of reach. I mean, yeah, and then in Game 7, he went 4-for-5, 2 homers, 5 RBI. Crazy. I mean, extremely well-deserved ALCS MVP, without a doubt. I mean, he was just off the charts. And, I mean, Corey Seager, who was kind of underperforming throughout most of the series with a 3-for-5 game, 7 for him. So, I mean, all the guys really stepped up for Texas. I mean, it must have been scary. I mean, not even winning 1 at home and then having to go back into Houston and win 2 in a row must have definitely been scary. I mean, I was definitely scared seeing Max Scherzer take the start in Game 7. I was a little scared, especially after his Game 3 start.
And it's not like he exactly
not
had
very
the
good.
He didn't exactly have a great Game 7.
No, he did not at all, but he was lucky that, I mean, before he even touched the baseball, his team was up 6-0. So, I mean, it would have been hard for him to take a loss for that game.
I mean,
so.
I wish certain other teams could have run support like that for certain players named Spencer Strider, but that's for another. We'll save that for next season.
Yeah. Anyway, then I guess let's get right into it when it comes to the NLCS. Real quick, as a Braves fan, Phil, yeah. All right, that's out of my system.
I've got a lot more to get out of my system. It's not going to be
me
on the
too.
Show.
But, I mean, going in, I go again, shout out to Luke. He's not here, so I don't get to say it to his face. But you're going, Red October, Red October, Red October.
And, I had to hear that for 3 weeks.
Yes.
Not anymore.
Yes.
Good.
But then everyone was like, okay, Arizona's been hot during the playoffs, so this is something to kind of watch. Arizona didn't have a great start. Then they go home where Philadelphia fans publicly try to take over that building. I mean, that shifted everything. That's where it shifted, if you ask me.
They didn't just try to take it over. I remember seeing how Philly players were prepared to like storm the pool in right field and all that. And when I saw that, I was like, man, I hope the Diamondbacks make a comeback after being down 2-0. Did I have a lot of faith? No. But I'm glad that the 4 23-year-olds they have on their team, Brandon Fatt, Corbin Carroll, Lane Thomas, and then their ace, Zach Gallen, I'm glad all of them proved me wrong. I'll absolutely take that.
Yeah, I mean, going into it, I didn't think Arizona stood a chance. Then they went down 2-0-2 in games 1 and 2 that were not very close at all. And I was kind of like, yeah, I mean, this makes sense. And, I mean, then they won Game 3, and then it was like, okay, is this going to be a series? And then they won Game 4, and it was like, wow, this really is going to be a series, right? And then, I mean, Philly took Game 5, and that's kind of when I was like, yeah, I mean, this had to happen. Like, now they need to go and win 1 out of 2 potential games in Citizens Bank Park where they haven't lost a game there in the playoffs, and it's the best home environment in the playoffs.
Air quotes.
And, Philly's going to win. They have to win 1 of these games, right? And, I mean, Arizona with 2 really good games in 3 and 4. I was like, yeah, Arizona might win this game 6, but Philly would win Game 7 if it came down to it. And holding the Phillies to 3 runs over 2 games in the most electric playoff environment is absolutely insane. So they're pitching, I mean, That was one of the rotations, especially like in the playoffs. I thought they could make it out of the wild card, definitely, but I didn't think they had one of those rotations that could have made it through a 7-game series. And I mean, Brandon fought with the start of his life in game 7, and the bullpen was just absolutely dealing. I looked at the box score earlier for game 7. The Arizona Diamondbacks bullpen let up one hit in game 7 after Brandon fought got pulled. So their pitching was unbelievable in games 6 and 7 with as much pressure on the line as could possibly be, and they came away with that series win. I mean, guys like in their lineup, Ketel Marte and Corbin Carroll are absolute beasts.
Oh,
I mean,
before last thing about the Diamondbacks, at least for right now, I saw the stat. Ketel Marte also broke a playoff record. He is on a 16-game playoff hitting streak. He has played in 16 playoff games in his career, and he has a hit. He has at least one hit in all of them, and
which is now probably going to be broken because everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone can say all they want, but the record was 15. He got a hit in Game 7, made it 16. So he could go 0-for-40 in a 6 or 7 game series that they play, and he can still hold that above everybody's head.
Yeah, I mean, definitely well-deserved championship series MVP for him as well. He definitely rose to the occasion. Absolutely. I mean, he was easily the best piece in their lineup.
100%.
And I mean, they're, like I said, their pitching was spot on. I mean, Zach Gallen, who's like NL Cy Young runner-up probably, is their ace, hasn't even had that great of a postseason himself, but everyone else has kind of risen to take his spot as given a solid amount of innings. Like I said, Brandon Pfaadt's start yesterday was unbelievable. So,
yeah.
Mm. All right. Then, I guess, let's talk about the matchup. Texas, of course, I believe they're going to be the higher seed. Yes. So they are going to be playing host for, majority of the games. But Arizona, again, been a bit of a road team. So something that we could look at also. So how do you guys think this matchup is going to fare? Let's not say who's going to win. Let's just go with how many games. I'm thinking a 7-game series. I think this is going to be one of the longest playoff seasons ever. Tyler?
Like you said, I'm not going to give my winner just yet.
All right.
But I don't think it goes 7 games. I don't think it goes 7 games. And I'm, like I said, not going to say my winner, but I think the angry baseball team right now is probably not going to let it happen in 7 games. I think they're undefeated on the road in this postseason. They
haven't done great at home, though. That should be noted.
They have lost 3 games at home, but they also... Well, they got one other home game because they swept the Rays in Tampa, and then they got 2 wins in Baltimore and 1 win at home. So, yeah, they're 1-3 at home. Even if they were to lose every game at home until game 7, they would still win the World Series. I don't think it goes 7 games. I think it goes 6.
Mm.
I mean, I can't really remain anonymous. Everyone here knows who I think is going to win anyway. But, I mean, I think that when I saw the NLCS matchup, I said there's no way that this goes more than 4. I genuinely thought it was 4-game sweep for Philly. So Diamondbacks really went and proved me wrong there. So I don't think the Rangers can sweep them either. I think they're going to put up a good fight, but I also think that it's not going to last too long. I have my same analysis for what I thought the NLCS matchup was. I think the Rangers just have kind of the edge in every single category in terms of their team, and I
except
said that
bullpen.
And I mean, that's true, but the Rangers bullpen has been pretty good in the playoffs as well.
They're stepping it up at the end of
they
the
are stepping
season.
It up,
right.
For sure. But also the thing is, the reason I thought that the ALCS would go to 7 games is because I also thought that Texas outclassed Houston, but Houston had the edge of their playoff experience. I mean, the Rangers were going for their 3rd pennant ever, while Houston was going for their 3rd consecutive pennant. I mean, they have the experience. They have Dusty Baker. Their team has been there 7 times in a row now in that series. So that's why I thought Houston could have some edge, and that's why it turned out to be a series for sure. But the Diamondbacks are on the same playing field as Texas, like I brought up at the beginning, Texas third pennant ever, Arizona second pennant ever. I mean, both these teams have not seen the playoffs hardly ever in their franchise. And I mean, generally, their players on those teams as well have not really seen the playoffs. So I don't even think the Diamondbacks have much of an edge in any respect, really. I think they will put up a good fight because it's the World Series. I mean, you don't make it here without being able to put up a fight. But I think it'll be 5 or 6 games.
Hmm. All right. So it looks like so 6. You're saying 5 or 6, 7. So we're all agreeing no sweep.
No sweep.
I would say no, yeah.
All right. Good. So
that would be unfortunate. From the 2 game 7s that we got for the championship series, for it to end in a sweep would just be depressing.
Yeah, this is
as a baseball fan.
Yeah, no, I actually looked into this. I did want to share this. This is the 4th time, including the COVID season ever, that both championship series have gone to game 7. It happened in 03 and 04 and then in the COVID season. So this is the 4th time ever. I mean, I would count the COVID season as, I mean, real playoffs. I mean, if it's 7 games, I mean, that's one thing. So, but I mean, it, like
real
I
playoffs,
said that
fake ring.
Mickey Mouse ring.
Yeah. I mean, I said that the wild card round was extremely boring, but I think the championship series without a doubt made up for it. But I also think, I mean, Texas and Arizona have had pretty much the same exact path to the playoffs. I mean, they're both 5 seeds, right? And they both went and won 5 in a row to make it to the championship series. And then they had different championship series, but it both came down to going on the road, needing to win both road games, and they got it done. So they've had almost an identical path here. So we'll see what happens now that they have to play each other.
Mm. All right. Real quick, because we only have a few minutes left, let's kind of go and talk about this a little bit. We'll talk about it again in the next segment. It was rumored during Game 7 Dusty Baker would be retiring no matter what happens at the end of the season. It is official today. He has retired. He is going to be no longer managing the Astros. So only 3 seasons. Well, was it 4 or 3?
It might have been 3.
I mean, because 2020, 2021, 2022, yeah, so 4. Mm-hmm. 4 seasons. That's it. He gets a ring, of course, to wrap up things. But I guess your guys' thoughts on the managerial career of Dusty Baker as he rides off into the sunset for one day for his hands to be stuffed and put into the Smithsonian.
Dusty Baker is a first ballot Hall of Famer, period, for his career, whether it be a player or a manager. Just like no matter the distaste I have for the Astros, yeah, first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he would obviously have wanted to ride off into the sunset with another ring, but in the 4 years he was there, 2020 they made ALCS.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they made it at least to the championship series.
Yeah, I mean, he made it to the ALCS but lost, and then made it to the World Series and lost, made it to the World Series and won, and then made it to the ALCS. I mean, come on. You can't ask for really anything better in a 4-year span from a player or manager unless you're looking at, like, 98 to 2001 Randy Johnson, where you get 4 Cy Youngs in 4 years. Like, Dusty Baker's on that kind of level of good of what you want from a manager. And if the Astros can get somebody like that, they're going to end up being the new Dodgers, where they're just always winning and everyone ends up hating them for different reasons.
Excuse me, the Dodgers don't have a real ring.
Yeah, you're right. I'll give you that.
All right. Luke, your thoughts real quick.
Yeah, I was going to say totally. I think Dusty Baker is easily a Hall of Famer, whether as, I mean, obviously his playing career is pretty good too, but even just as a manager, he's had a Hall of Fame managerial career, and his stint in Houston was phenomenal. I mean, like, not to discredit him, I mean, he had a really, really good team around him, but he made all the right moves for the team, and he definitely contributed a lot to their success. So very nice overall managerial career in Houston, and so yeah.
All right. Well, I'll give my thoughts, and we'll talk about probably a potential replacement in Houston, along with Bob Melvin going to the Giants from the Padres. So we have openings appearing and closing at the same time. We'll be back in 5 minutes to talk about those and more.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And welcome back, everybody, to Student Section MLB here on WVUA 90.7, the Capstone. I'm, of course, your host, Carson Keel, with
Tyler Harrison
and Luke Anderson.
And let's get back to the Dusty Baker talk. Of course, Dusty, if you did miss it, the last segment of the show, Dusty Baker has officially retired from managing baseball. Of course, an all-star player. I made the joke, but seriously, his hands are going to be going into the Smithsonian. That's actually the plan, because he invented the high five and all that. So yeah.
Wow. I forgot. That's I saw awesome. Something on Instagram like yeah. a year ago about that.
Oh yeah, his goodness. Hand no literally his hands will be going into the Smithsonian.
They're gonna cut his hands off.
Yes. I'm not joking, that's the plan.
Wow.
Oh
yeah,
man, I don't
you can see his hands in the Smithsonian.
My bad, Dusty.
of course, the Houston Astros will be looking for a new manager, but just to give my thoughts, I didn't get to give them before the break. Dusty came in at a time where Houston really needed some new leadership, especially with what happened with the 2019, well, let's just say 2017, 2019 Astros. And he was really a stabilizing force, and that is something that should really be commended for what he was able to do, especially with the chaos that was the 2020 and 2021 season with the backlash from the sign-stealing scandal. And I think that's something he'll be remembered for. I think he'll be a bit of a scapegoat, and at the same time, kind of seen as a savior for the Houston Astros. So, with my eulogy done, guys, I guess let's kind of talk about the replacements that you could see for Houston. Do they go for someone who is a bit of a name? Do they try to go for someone in organization? Do you guys have any ideas?
I mean, I don't have any, like, direct names, but in terms of, I mean, I always like to say, like, who I think would be fitting for the job. I don't know, like, what people would be fitting specifically, but what the qualifications I would hire. I would have to definitely hire someone with a name. I think, I mean, if they've been in seven championship series in a row now, there's no telling when their window is going to close, and I don't think it's closing for the next couple years. I mean, they just came off a World Series last year. They're off a championship series now, so they definitely have, and they're going to bring back most of the pieces on the team. So I would definitely want a manager who can just kind of kick it into high gear right away and try to bring them back to that World Series as soon as possible, because they do have a couple older players as well. So they would want to ride their momentum as soon as possible.
I completely agree. I don't have any set names, but they do not need to. Their main focus needs to be win now, because a manager that whoever gets hired for the Astros has minimum 2 years. If they don't make it to an ALCS either one of those years, he's out. They may even get rid of a manager if they don't make the ALCS after 1 year, because they're, like you said, running on a 7-year streak of it. They have a young phenom hitter in Yordan, who I'd just like to throw in. Yordan and Altuve, no matter how much I dislike your organization, they make me fall in love with playoff baseball. Yordan, they should have given him ALCS MVP for a losing team. They should have created the award for it. He hit 507 games. I mean, Altuve is, no matter how much it's going to hurt for me to say it, he is the greatest postseason hitter of all time. End of. He will finish with more than 30 postseason home runs, which is a record. Yordan is going to be an all-time hitter. He may hit 600 with no steroids. The first person to do that since, what, 97 almost? Goodness. But that's another day. The Astros need to hire somebody who is a win now.
Yes. Now, this is where we get to have a sort of a serious discussion. The Dodgers, it hasn't been really talked about, but people, there's at least the idea, do the Dodgers, we talked about this last week, do the Dodgers finally get rid of Dave Roberts? If you're the Houston Astros, with the success, the mediocre success you have seen with LA under Dave Rogers in the playoffs, regular season, the dude can absolutely take a team far. Playoffs, different story. Do you see Dave Roberts being looked at for that Houston Astros job?
100%.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth a consideration by Houston for sure.
Mm. All right. But is there any other big names you guys can think of? Because I think, here's the thing, there's a lot of great coaches who are good at rebuilding and then building up and staying with those teams through championships, but none of them are like, okay, slot them in, they can go win. That's kind of the one thing where it's like, who can really do that?
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's hard for me to come up with one person who can do that. So that's why I can't really think of a specific person, but I mean, if there is anyone who matches that distinction, then totally. I mean, Dave Roberts is probably one of the closest to doing that. I mean, yeah, he has had very, very little playoff success, but if you can count on him to win like 100 games every season, then it would definitely be worth consideration for sure. So
the way I think about it is, I think if Dave Roberts goes from Dodgers to Astros, I don't think Astros fans would be upset at all. I think you could have friends. I think if you had an Astros fan and a Dodgers fan who are friends, and the Dodgers fans letting them know, oh man, you're not going to have any success in the playoffs. It's a matter of, it's why we thought the Astros may win the ALCS this year. Their playoff experience, I think if you can just get them to the playoffs, then with the team that they have now, even if they get no additions in the offseason, I think with the team that they have now, you're still going to see them in the playoffs. Like I said, Altuve, Yordan, Bregman, Jeremy Pena, I think he's going to have a breakout season next season. Who else? Chaz McCormick, who is still healing from that 104 fastball to his thigh. They just have a playoff team. You can't. That's what I was saying, that the manager has to be win now. If you hire somebody and they don't make the playoffs, they need to get out of there, because it's going to create a spiral of Altuve's getting in his older years. You may not get his production. Yordan may hit a slump, or he may get his younger years ruined from like less playoff experience if you don't have a win now manager. So like I said, I don't have a name, but I think Dave Roberts is honestly the best option for him.
Wow. All right. Then let's go ahead and talk about, we had a team switch happen. Bob Melvin originally was with the Oakland A's, then went down to San Diego. Now he's heading back to the Bay Area to go to the San Francisco Giants. Thoughts on the move, especially considering the Giants' position looks like they were going to stay in-house originally, and then now they switched to someone from outside the organization. And then where does that leave the Padres? My thoughts real quick. Very interesting move. I think Bob probably thought he was going to be fired, and I guess considering San Diego probably had to give the okay, they probably said, you know what, go ahead and go. No hard feelings. But, man, yeah, you have to wonder if you're San Diego now, especially we'll talk about what's been kind of the rumors going around a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I guess we got your guys' thoughts first on Bob going to San Francisco.
I guess the Giants are looking at the offseason potential from Melvin. I mean, if you can build a team around Logan Webb and Jock Peterson and Patrick Bailey, then maybe Melvin can lead them to some type of playoff hopes, because I know this year they were few games under 500, or were they just barely over 500?
I think they were a couple games below. I don't exactly remember.
What I remember was just their woes from, 2 years ago they had 102 wins,
mm-hmm.
and they fell off the face of the planet. They pulled a reverse Rangers.
Oh, 100%. Much. Yeah.
So I guess the Giants have to look past the Padres stacked roster being a disappointment, and they have to hope that Bob Melvin can take a not-so-stacked roster and maybe bring in a little more team chemistry instead of just throwing a lot of money at people.
I mean, that's what he did in Oakland.
Yeah. But Oakland is a poverty franchise, and they're going to be poverty
in Las
Vegas.
But then he's going to a San Francisco team that is at least willing to spend money.
Yes.
You know, I think that's something that should be looked at.
I mean, they were trying to get Judge and Correa. At least they had effort. They didn't get him, but
It seemed like they were very close to Judge, at least.
Arson, so. Yep.
Arson. But Luke, your thoughts on Bob going to San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much exactly. Tyler hit it right on the head. I mean, I think it's a great move for a team that should be looking to make a decent amount of moves in the offseason. Not necessarily a full-on rebuild, blow-up-the-team sort of thing, but just make a couple moves that can put them over the hump, maybe get a wild card spot next year, because they definitely have a couple names that they can do that if they could just bring in a couple more. Like you guys have mentioned, they tried to have a huge offseason this summer, and failed at that completely. So if you look at a guy like Bob, I think he could totally help them make the moves that they will need in the offseason and can help them have a winning offseason, which will help put them over the edge in the regular season as well. So,
mm-hmm. All right. Well, then I guess let's start talking about San Diego. Let's start off with the first one first. The rumor that I talked about, Luke Torrey would be ecstatic right now.
I don't want to give him any hopes. No hopes.
Thoughts on possibly Juan Soto going to the New York Yankees or at least being traded to another team?
Being traded to any other team, you're going to have instant success, I think. Because yeah. Juan Soto, won a World Series when he was 19 with the mm-hmm. Nationals. He yep. proved that he can play at the highest level. He is constantly the leader in walks, so his OBP is skyrocketing. Yes, he didn't have the greatest season this year, and he still finished with 35 home runs, I think. What I mean is he bounced back in the second half of the season. And, I mean, goodness. If he went to the Yankees, just a 1-2 punch for any starting pitcher on any given day, as long as they're both healthy, to have to deal with Aaron Judge and Juan Soto probably back-to-back in a lineup, that thought infuriates me. Because Judge can hit a ball anywhere to the field. Juan Soto is a bit of a pull hitter, but that's a good thing in New York because their right field wall, you could get a four-year-old to hit it over. If you gave a four-year-old a bat and told them, swing it as a lefty, they wouldn't understand you, but they'd still hit a home run because mm-hmm. that is a poverty right field wall. So I would hate it if Soto went to the Yankees, but I think the Yankees fans would see instant success, especially if their pitching can bring it back, especially if they have more than just Gerrit Cole.
Mm. Yeah, that's the issue, though. They need more pitching. No one said
they needed it.
I would say.
They do need it, yeah. But I'm not saying they should get it.
Oh. Well, I hear saying, though, is it worth going after and spending money on Juan Soto and maybe just try to win games by beating your opponent to death, or is it better to just, I guess, you know, maybe you have a solid lineup already when it comes to hitting, just try to solidify that pitching core?
Well, they need a showing in spring training.
Yeah.
They're starting – if Gerrit Cole can perform at his level, then he's set. You can put him aside. Rodon needs to step it up. I don't know what happened to him. He was a – did he win the Cy Young, or was he close to winning it when he was with the Giants?
He was close.
Either way, it doesn't matter whether you're in the running or not. It clearly means you're a good pitcher. And he went to the Yankees and absolutely just – I can't even say it. He just played horrible. So he needs to show up. They need a 1-2 punch of Gerrit Cole and Rodon. That's a righty and a lefty. And then you need a third starter to show up. Michael King was playing out of his mind as a starting pitcher at the end of the season when it really didn't matter for the Yankees, but he's a relief pitcher. So unless they can convert him to a starter, they need at least a third starter. Because, I mean, you can look at fourth and fifth starters for the Yankees this year. Luis Severino just has not played like he was supposed to. Domingo Germán, he can always hold above everybody's head that he threw a perfect game, but then everyone can hold above his head that he's an alcoholic. Oh. So they just need two better starters. They have to figure out their pitching.
All right. on that comment, real quick, your guys' thoughts, who should be a replacement for the San Diego Padres in terms of manager, especially with that roster they have, even without trades going on right now?
Luke, you got any ideas?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's less clear-cut for the Padres because I feel like they could kind of take this either way. I feel like they can either pursue a win-now sort of attitude with and just kind of try to brush this unsuccessful, disappointing season behind them and try to go back towards winning, or they could try to take a couple-year rebuild, kind of like how the Mets are trying to do, that they said – like they were selling at the deadline, and they kind of said, okay, we're pushing our window back a couple years, even though we thought we were going to be winning this season. The Padres can do something like that and kind of just not necessarily a rebuild but a retool and try to gear up for a couple years from now, or they could try to win now, but it all depends. I mean, that goes with trading Juan Soto. I mean, they could also try to keep Juan Soto if they want to keep winning right now, or they can trade him, get a couple really good pieces that will be really good in 2 years and try to shape up for then. So depends on what they want to do. So they could go either of those two routes, but obviously they would need a completely different type of manager for either of those ways. So it just depends more on what they want
to
do.
I think they have to go win now, because you would ruin the morale of the team if you sign Machado's getting in on his extension, Tatis finally back and playing at a Gold Glove level in the outfield. They found his spot. Juan Soto is a young phenom who is going to be going at this for the next 15 years. Xander Bogaerts, Hao Song Kim, all of them, you would ruin a team's morale if you don't win now.
Yeah.
No matter what, I don't think I don't think you can afford a rebuild or a couple years waiting, because it would just ruin the morale of the team and the fans.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we have to take a quick break. We'll be back in 5. But after that, we'll have our prediction for who will win the World Series, and we'll finish up our Padres talk along. We'll talk about who Boston hired for president of baseball operations. We'll be back in 5.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to the final segment of Student Section MLB here on WVUA 90.7, the Capstone. I'm, of course, your host, Carson Keel, with
Tyler Harrison
and Luke Anderson.
And I guess, real quick, on the Padres, my thoughts. I didn't get to give them last segment of the show, so we got to be a little brisk. But essentially, I think it's a good move for Bob. I think it's a good move for the Padres. I'm very interested to see where they go. I think Tyler was absolutely correct. You're in a win now mentality. That's the only place you have to go, with, especially with that stacked for a roster. So the question is now, in my opinion, who is that perfect fit for the Padres in their opinion? Yeah, that's really it in regards to that. But now, let's talk about the Boston Red Sox, who have hired a new president of baseball operations. This is a bit of a surprise. Make sure I got everything. Craig Breslow is now the chief baseball officer in Boston. Your guys' thoughts on that, especially after how the last GM wasn't exactly honorably removed from the position.
I think he's about to take a lot of fire from the fans if they don't see almost instant success. I love Boston. Like I said a few weeks ago, I've never had any hate for them. They've never done anything. But the sudden firing of a GM that really didn't deserve it, I think he still had a little bit of leeway, and it kind of came out of nowhere. I think Boston fans are going to use their new GM as a scapegoat, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, pretty much anything is going to be pinned if they don't perform well. They should have high expectations, and I think they should have with their manager before the firing. So a lot of it is going to come down to this. If they don't see the success that they could live up to, definitely this is one of their better seasons in a few years after they've been retooling. So they definitely have the pieces to make a playoff push this next season, and it's basically all going to ride on this hiring. So,
I think you guys are completely right. This is going to be a hire that basically is make or break it for Boston fans, because I think we're very close to seeing a fan revolt in Boston. I mean, since 2018, what exactly has the team done? Nothing.
Have they made the playoffs at all since then?
2021.
Yeah, they made the ALCS.
The ALCS in 2021.
Oh, was it Astros?
It was Astros Boston. Yeah.
Oh man.
Remember people were like, oh, well, if it's Boston, Atlanta, because of the history, because of course Boston Braves.
Okay,
so
I do remember that. I was still focused on the
NLCS.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, it's kind of like they've had some success. Again, ALCS, nothing to exactly scoff at. But I mean, 2022 was really bad. 2023 was really bad. Now you're entering 2024. I think if by the All-Star break in 2024, if this team isn't not at least contending for at least a wild card seed, you're probably going to see a fan revolt, and you'll probably start to see that happen in Boston. Your guys' thoughts on that possible idea?
I 100% agree.
Yeah, I think it's definitely in the cards. I mean, Boston sports fans are not particularly the nicest people, in my experience. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. I mean, they have a lot of recent sports success around the sports world. So I don't think they're not particularly used to not doing well. So we'll see what happens.
I hope they don't expect like an instant 2018 Red Sox.
Yeah, it's not going to be a team like that at all.
Masterpiece of a team.
But I think the best case they have is they make a firm wild card spot. I think that's the best they have to do, and then maybe make a run like one of these runs we've seen in recent past with the Phillies run last year and the Diamondbacks run this year, where they kind of come into the playoffs under the radar. They made it in pretty firm, and they go in under the radar, and then they maybe make it out winning a pennant. So I think that's what they have the potential to do, but I don't think they have the potential to be screaming, blowing down doors, winning 100 games. But I feel like the fans might expect that.
Because Red Sox are AL East, right?
Yeah, and that AL division is crazy good.
Yeah, so I mean, you can't Boston fans need to just realize that. It's going to be rough. That every team in that division almost is playoff contenders, and you just kind of have to live with that, and you hope your team is better.
All right. Well, I think it's now time. We were just talking about a World Series. I think it's now time that we go ahead and talk about the current World Series. Again, we made our predictions beginning of the show. I said the World Series is going to go in 7 games. Tyler, you said 6. Luke, you said it was going to be 5 or 6 games. Now it's going to be who is going to win a World Series ring for the Rangers, possibly their first. For the Diamondbacks, possibly their second. Tyler, I'll let you take the honors of going first.
I've been thinking a lot about it, and I'm about to throw the meanest curveball.
Uh-oh.
I don't think it goes 6. I think it goes 7.
Oh.
I think the Diamondbacks pull it out in 7.
All right.
I don't know why. I just have faith, and I think the World Series MVP, Ketel Marte.
All right.
I think that my official prediction, I'm not going to change it up. I think Texas is going to win, but I think that they might split the first 2 games. I think Texas is going to pull away game 1 behind a strong start by probably Nathan Eovaldi, especially as Zach Gallen starting game 1. Like I said, he's been pretty shaky so far this postseason. I think the Diamondbacks would answer in game 2 with a strong showing, tied up, and then Carson brought this up at the beginning of the show. I mean, Rangers undefeated on the road. Road Warriors, I think they'll go in and win 3. All 3 games in Arizona, and the Rangers will win in 5. And I think maybe you see even Nathan Eovaldi, World Series MVP, Game 1, Game 5 starter, a couple master classes thrown by him. So that's what I think.
All right. You see, we're on a similar train of thought, but you're a little short off mine. I'm taking your 7 games. I'm taking your Rangers win. I'm going to be saying Rangers in 7. I think Garcia is going to be a World Series MVP. So we have some splits, but it's an interesting triangle of splits where we're thinking same number of games but same winner.
It's the weirdest love triangle I've ever been a part of.
I wanted to go to 7 games. I really wanted to be a good series. The championship series certainly did not disappoint, so it would be sad to see a World Series disappointing. Kind of like last year, the World Series was a little anticlimactic with the Phillies soaring. I mean, I've kind of picked up on it. I brought it up before. I kind of think that this Diamondbacks team is very similar to last year's Phillies. I mean, they came in with not a lot of expectations at all, barely kind of making it in with a rough end of the season, and then they made it all the way to win a pennant. But I don't know if they have this steam to take down this really, really strong-looking Texas team.
All right. Well, I think that is a good place to leave it off. Of course, World Series Game 1 is going to be this Friday. I believe it's going to be every other day after that, if I'm correct. So it'll be Friday, Saturday, Tuesday. So we'll be in Game 3 by the time we get back next week. We'll have 3 games in, barring, just real quick, they might have a couple back-to-backs considering it's home.
Yeah, well, so they're actually, I mean, they're playing it, it's structured the same way where it's back-to-back days. So the first game's Friday, and then they play in Texas again Saturday. The travel day's Sunday, and then they play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So there is a chance that by the time our next show, the World Series is over.
Yeah, or at least we have an idea who's going to win by the time we're live. So
could be ending while we're live,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. So. Game 5, if it goes while we're going, I hope it is not a 3-1 series. I want it to be 2-2 when we go on.
I think it has the potential to do that. I think it'll be 3-1 at that point, but we'll have to see.
We'll have to see. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Once again, I've been Carson Keel.
Luke Anderson.
And Tyler Harrison.
And we'll see you guys next week with World Series Live Talk. But until then, stay safe.